This is a message that was recorded at Word of Life, a London City church in Lewisham, London. May God bless you as you listen.
Thank you, Lord, for the privilege of coming and sitting at your own feet. Blessed Lord, breathe afresh upon us. Fill us, Lord, with the light of your word, and let your word come alive in us. Make our heart a fertile ground for your word. Lord, that your word will grow and bring forth abundant fruit to the glory and praise of your name. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Shall we take our seats? Good evening, everybody. Yes, we'll be starting with to tackle the giants of parenting. I think that's about the biggest giant, really. And the confidence, I have is because I have God as my father. And you've heard it said that you parent the way you were parented, isn't it? But we thank God for his mercies. He's going to help us. But if I may say something, really important before we carry on. I don't know how it's going to be possible to deal with a topic like this without causing offense. If you get what I mean. The offense will come because the word of God by nature causes offense. Is that clear? And one of the reasons why offense will naturally come when you talk about parenting is because parents often feel judged by the way their children's life, turn out. Hello? Is that correct? Mm-hmm. People will often look at children and judge the parents. Mm-hmm. But thank God that our Father doesn't deal with us that way. Isn't it? Okay. So that's one reason why there may be offense. And if there's any offense, please let nobody take it personally. Amen? And the Lord is going to help us. And another reason why people can easily be offended is their own situation, their own personal situations. Whether you brought it upon yourself or it just happened to you, people can easily get offended. But I'm just pleading with us, let us not be offended. And if I cause any offense, let your love cover the multitude of my sins. Praise God. Okay. Now, for this evening, I will do my best to introduce parenting. Godly parenting is what I really want to deal with. And I pray that we all really stick together, with this. I won't be going into much depth into anything at all, not this evening. But we'll just seek to really introduce, what godly parenting is. And how we could possibly go about it. So, what is godly parenting? Godly parenting, is parenting our children the way God himself parents us. That's simple, isn't it? The way he parents us. And as we look at the way he parents us, we'll be looking at different situations. Because we all have different situations, don't we? Pastor Roland have already mentioned single parenthood. By God's grace, we'll be devoting an evening just for that topic. And one thing about single parenthood is every one of us, at one point in our life, will become single parents. Except you and your spouse die the same day. You get my point? Hello? Yeah. And there are different situations with single parenthood, so we'll come to that later on. But whether you're a single parent or you're a double whammy parent or double, whichever one you are, the thing is for us to parent in a godly way. And godly parenting is parenting our children the way God parents us. And parenting is about giving our children those things we desperately need and receive from the Lord. Is that clear? Okay, so please stay with me. I know this bit can be a bit boring, but the Lord will help us to really infuse life into it. So parenting, godly parenting, is about giving to our children those things we ourselves desperately need and receive from the Lord. Mark it. It's not just what you desperately need, but what you receive, because you can only give what you've received. Is that clear? Okay. And we can only parent our children to the degree we look unto God ourselves for our own lives. In other words, the extent to which you can parent your children in a godly way will be dependent on how closely you walk with the Lord. Godly parenting does not happen by accident. Okay? It is a deliberate, thing. It is a deliberate thing by the unction of the Holy Spirit, of course. And godly parenting is about, keeping intact and safely delivering, to God that which He lent to us. Okay? It's about you keeping intact. God lent something to you. Okay, maybe you come to me now and you say, Chuks, can you, can I have your car for the evening, please? I need to, run to Blue Waters or Green Waters, to do some shopping. And I said, okay, here is the key. Now, it will be your responsibility to keep my car intact, isn't it? And when you return it to me, let it be in a good state. And maybe even better than the way you took it. maybe take it to the valet, and let it really be well. You understand? Or maybe top up the tank for it to flow over. But basically what it is about keeping intact that which you have received and delivering it safely back into the hands of God. And what does this tell us? That the children we have are gifts from God. They are a gift, and at the same time, they are on loan. You get what I mean? Okay, so we are to keep them intact, honoring God in the way we treat them, and delivering them back to God. And we say, God, this is what you gave me, and I'm giving that back, to you. In 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 27 to 29, there we see Hannah, speaking to Eli, and saying to Eli, look, this was the son that I prayed to God for last year, and God has lent me this son, and I have come to give him back to God to serve God all the days of his life. Praise God. And this was exactly the same reason why, you've heard me share this testimony before, when, my daughter Nkechi, was in hospital, and when the Lord gave me the revelation that she was with him. And I said, Lord, okay, she belongs to you. You can have her if you want, but if you don't mind, can we have her back? So there was that surrender, that willingness to yield her back to God, because she was never mine in the first instance. You get the point? So it is keeping intact and safely delivering to God that which He lent to us. And we are never alone in parenting. We are never alone. God promised never to leave us or to forsake us. That's in Hebrews 13 verse 5. He said, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. And, parenting is the most important job on earth. Yeah, many of us will appreciate that. Yet is the job we are least trained for. The most training majority of people have is the way they were parented. And if our age is anything to go by, that is the generation we live in, the times we live in, is anything to go by, we realize that most people have dysfunctional parenting. And that gets perpetuated from generation to generation, all because of the generational nature of parenting. And one huge task in parenting is that as a parent, when you have a child, you become responsible for future generations. So you have a child, that child that is given to you becomes a responsibility for future generations. But how then do you handle the weight of future generations? Do you begin to worry about your 10th and 20th generation to come? No. God has made it really simple. It's a huge responsibility, but He has made it really simple for us, isn't it? He said that we should take on His own yoke, that His yoke is easy and His burden is light. Though the child that you've been given becomes a responsibility, a huge one for that matter, of future generations. The way to deal with it is to deal with the child you have now. Don't worry about the 20th. If the seed is sown well and nurtured well, it will perpetuate itself by God's grace. Amen? And that's really, really important that we know that. You know, we will never, 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 never be orphaned. You know, we said the way you are parented is where you parent your own children. But our own eyes, remember what I said earlier on, that godly parenting is parenting our children the way God parents us. So, if God is our Father, Isaiah 9 verse 6 tells us that He is our everlasting Father. You know, when the Lord opened my eyes to that scripture, I said, wow, it's not only my Father, but it's my everlasting Father. I will never be orphaned. Some of us are orphans. You know, maybe you lost your mom, you lost your dad, or lost whatever thing you have lost. That's fine. But you, spiritually, will never be orphaned because God is our everlasting Father. And He will help us. And because He's our everlasting Father, we should therefore face with confidence and awe, the task, you know, of molding our children's lives and shaping their destiny. Because that's what parenting is about as well. It's about molding the lives of our children and shaping their destiny. That sounds really scary, but the Lord Himself will help us. So as we look unto Him, the author and finisher of our faith, He will help us. He will help us. Amen. You know, it has also been said that, you know, no child is born with a reference manual. Yeah? Or product manual, as some would say. Is that true? Yeah, it's true. No child is born with a reference manual. You know why? Because the product manual is actually sent to you before the product arrives. Okay? Now, if we lay hold of this, it blows away all the myths, most of the myths that people have hold on parenting. They're not born out, you know, coming out from the womb, clutching their, you know, the reference manual. Well, this is the maker's thing. Just have to read page 1, appendix 10 to understand what is going wrong, you know, in this place. So when the water works, it's not going well, then you need to go to chapter 10 of the reference manual. Not so. They're never born with it, holding it. But He actually, the maker of that product, sends us the reference manual well in advance. So you can actually familiarize yourself, you know, with the yeah, it's true, Emma. She's wagging her head. He sends us, you know, the reference manual. And what is this manual? What is this reference manual that He sends to us on parenting? The number one reference manual He gives us is the Word of God. The Word of God is present with us. You know, and when we have the Word of God, we will never be in the dark on how we should parent our children. After all, Psalm 119 verse 105 says what? Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my own path. And verse 130 of Psalm 119 says that the entrance of your word gives light and it gives understanding to the simple. So number one is the Word of God. So if you really want to parent in a godly way, become friends with the Word of God. Number two manual that He gives to us is our relationship with God. You give what you have, but you can only reproduce who you are. So our relationship with God is vital. Those who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. So as we relate with Him, Jesus said, what I see the Father do is what I do. And Paul in 1 Corinthians 11 verse 1 says what? Be ye followers of me as I am of Christ. He had his eyes on the ball. So if we keep our relationship with God going, then we will not be in the dark. And remember that children learn most by imitation. Hello? So as we become imitators of Christ, guess what? Our children are imitating us. So our walk with Christ is vital in our success in parenting our own children. I'm sorry to disappoint anybody here who wants a quick fix in parenting. That's not a quick fix. Okay? And the third manual is the way you were parented. So you already have a lot of stuff in you. So the way you are parented, whether good or bad, you surely will read from that manual to parent your own children. Okay? Either you read it in the positive or you read it in the negative. You read it in the negative when you feel that your parents didn't do a good job, and you vow, this thing my parents did, I would never do that. Though you don't even know what is right for you to do. You know? Like Josh McDowell, you know, gave this testimony about his own dad, who was an alcoholic, he was abusive, he was everything that he didn't want a dad to be. He himself did not have any idea as to how to be a good dad. He received the Lord when he was in the university. You know, and all he knew is that he didn't want to be like his dad. But what exactly to do, he had no clue. But thank God that as he kept his eyes on the Lord, he was able to learn from God and from others that the Lord brought into his own life to help him to learn about parenting. Now he's one of the most, you know, renowned people when it comes to, you know, children's and youth work all over the world. Praise God. You know, so the way you are parented is important. And if it's positive, you say, oh, well, this worked for me, then I must use it for my own children. And sometimes it doesn't really follow. But it does not change the fact that you will always tap into that. And the fourth reference manual that you have given to you before you even have your own children is your dominant worldview. Your dominant worldview. All your experiences, your character, and all the things you've been exposed to, your, you know, everything about you, your perception of life will be brought to bear on your children's life. And that is why we must endeavor as believers to have the mind of Christ. So there's a solution in all of this, isn't it? We must have the mind of Christ. That is where our safety is. Philippians 2 verse 5 said, this mind that was in Christ, let it be in you also. Okay, to parent successfully, we must endeavor to parent with God. Remember I said earlier, I said never parent alone. And I'm going to be stressing this all throughout the period we'll be, you know, dealing with this topic. Always endeavor to parent with God. But two cannot work together except they agree. Malachi chapter 3 verse 3 tells us. Two cannot work together except they agree. So if you want to parent with God, now guess who must move if you are not already parenting with God? You have to move. You have to change your own focus. You have to align yourself with God. God is there and is calling us to come to him. Amen? So we must align ourselves with God. And to agree with God and walk with God begins with salvation. Our accepting Christ into our own life. Our submitting ourselves to his own spirit. And I tell you one key importance of submitting yourself to the Spirit of God. He knows the end from the beginning. Yeah? He knows everything. He knows all your experiences. Even the things you cannot deal with, he already knew them. And he can deal with every one of them. And if you go back to Genesis, before God started creating anything, what did he do? His spirit hovered over the face of the deep. His spirit ruled over the whole place. And while his spirit had dominion, he said, let there be, and his spirit brought those things into action. So if we submit ourselves under the covering of God, his word, the creative power of his own presence, will help us to raise godly seeds. You can never parent on our own. And no one and nobody can ever help you to do it right except God, who gave you that child anyway. And for those of you who are parents and have more than one child, you know too well that no two children are the same. The way you did one and turned right, try it on the other one, you blow your face. I mean, just explode right on your own face. Like an experiment in the lab that has gone wrong. Yeah? But the Lord will help us. We must follow parenting principles. So if you are to walk with God and parent with God, we must follow the principles that he has outlined for us in the scriptures. And for these 6 weeks, any principle we touch on, I'll be giving you scriptures for it. So it will not be, thus says St. Jukes. I'm a saint, whether you like it or not, okay. But it will be, thus says the Lord. Amen? It will be according to God's own word. So, we must, you know, align ourselves to the principles that God has outlined in the scriptures. And to understand, you know, the purpose of childbirth and parenting, we must go back to God's original intent. We are now in the age where having children becomes a fashion accessory, especially in Hollywood, isn't it? And they come up with some kind of funny names they give to their own children. Now, where is the latest baby, and what's the, you know, all those kind of things? It becomes a fashion accessory. But what was God's original intent? And if I may ask some of us here, why do you even have children? Some people will have children, want to have children to show that they are somebody, isn't it? Or maybe because the culture expects you. There's pressure here, there's pressure there, you know? Oh, I want to be able to answer that person who has been taunting me. Like Hannah. Hello? So people have different reasons why they want to have children. I want to be like other people. I had a father recently saying to the son, one son had two daughters. The second son have not had any children. He's saying to that one, now, the responsibility is on you now to carry forward the name of the family. You get the point? And that's one other reason why people have children, so that they can perpetuate the name of the family. But what was God's original intent? That's all that really matters. James says that what? We ask and we do not receive because we ask amiss, to consume upon our own lust. And we have the children, we don't parent them well, we say, woo! And Psalm 127, isn't it? Verse 4, said our children, they are like arrows in the hand of a mighty man. Arrows are weapons of war, aren't they? Now we treat those babies that are weapons of war as if they are cuddly bears. And they end up as arrows in our hearts instead of arrows in the heart of the enemy. But Lord will help us in Jesus' name. Okay, so we must know God's original intent. We must know his original intent. And to find out his original intent, you know, for childbirth and parenting, we must go back to the scriptures. In Genesis 11, in Genesis 1, verse 11 and 12, there he talks about the things he has created and he put in a seed in them. In the human seed was first mentioned in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, where he said to the serpent that the seed of the woman, that I'm putting enmity between you and the seed of the woman. So God starts, he sees children as seeds. And what do you do with your seed? Eat it up, isn't it? No, you sow your seed. You invest your seed. So our children are seeds. They are things that God has given to us to invest. To invest for what? For what purpose? For the expansion of his own kingdom. And in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 to 28, especially in verse 26, it tells us that what? That we were created in his own image. Why? And in verse 28, he said, be fruitful and multiply. Why? He wants more people in his own image. Hello? So the purpose, God's primary intent for childbirth is because he desires to have more of himself. Is that right? And that's why, now look at that. In the first book in the Bible, in the Old Testament, he expressed that intent. And the last book of the Old Testament, he expressed the same intent in Malachi 2:15. You see, he has brought the two people together because he is seeking godly seed. And what is godly seed? Godly seed like God. The godly seed is a seed that bears the nature of God. That when it is planted, it grows, it produces something that looks like God. Exactly. So that's what parenting is about. And that's what God desires of every one of us. Now, I'm sure some of us now will have thrown in the towel and say, no, I mean, I'm out of it. Knockout. I'm defeated. Thank God that we are all here defeated. Amen? That the Lord, we all are in the valley of the dry bones. And the Lord said, will these bones live? Ezekiel said, well, Lord, thou knowest. And that's it. God has the answer to our every situation. And he will cause us to live. Not only will we live, and our children will become a mighty army for his own, for the expansion of his own, you know, kingdom. So there is for us, for him to have more of himself in the image of God he created us, and for another reason. And because we are like God, He created us to be like Him. And He is seeking godly seeds, seeds that will produce natures that are like Him. And who is He? He is the King of Kings. Isn't He? He is the Lord of Lords. And if He's the King, He cannot be a king without a domain. Isn't it? So to produce more like Him, He rules in His own domain. Hello? He rules in His own domain. And because He's having more kings, having more people like Him, He now gave us the whole earth and said, have dominion. In other words, our godly seed, the children that God is giving to us, are to be raised to be people that will exercise dominion in any sphere of life that God sends them into. Remember, your arrow is not a decorative thing that you just put on the wall. That's a useless one. It's to be pulled and released into somewhere. That wherever our children go, we shoot them out, they will hit their mark and they will stay in that very place. And God will show us how we can get there. Because it's all there in His own word. Nothing is hidden. Amen. Now, it's for them to be fruitful. God is a good businessman. Whatever God does, He seeks what? Profit. He seeks fruit in it. So our children will be fruitful, producing the fruit of righteousness. They'll be able to exercise dominion and rule wherever they are. They will be that in Jesus' name. Your children will be that. And He made them to be rulers. Because as rulers, they will become heads and not tails. Hallelujah. In Genesis chapter 17, verse 7 to 9, God's own purpose is well expressed there. That His own work, that the work we have with Him will be a generational work. So what He's doing in our life should be from generation to generation. It should not perish with you. It should not end with you. Joshua, in Joshua chapter 24, verse 15, said to the people of Israel, as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. You know what they said to Joshua in verse 21? We will serve the Lord. They did. But they made no commitment for their own children. And in one generation, righteousness almost became extinct. In Judges chapter 2, verse 10, the scripture tells me that when the generation of Joshua passed away, there rose up another generation that did not know God. And for a period of 450 years, you know what? How it was summarized, the period of the judges in Israel, that everybody went about doing what seemed right in their own eyes. That's a disaster. But God's own intent is that the work should be a generational work. And for this purpose, God singled Abraham out in Genesis chapter 18, verse 17 to 19. He said of Abraham, I know him. You see, is there anything I do that I will hide from my servant Abraham? He said, no way. He said, for I know him that he will command his children and his household after him, that they may keep the covenant. Amen? And in keeping the covenant, the blessing is perpetuated from generation to generation. And in keeping the covenant, there is obedience. In working with God, obedience is required. That's a pivotal thing, as is expressed in Genesis chapter 18, verse 17 to 19. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 1 to 9, God should be the center of all things. In the nurture of our children, God should take center stage. Our curriculum for raising our children should be based on God's word. Now you take your time and read that Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 1 to 9. And we must start early in teaching our children. People say, what is the age of accountability? It takes long to train an accountant, isn't it? But Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 13 tells us something. He said what? He said, gather all the people together, including the children that have not known anything, that they may learn, that they may hear and learn to fear the Lord. So when is it that the children haven't known anything? When they are 6 years old, isn't it? No. Even when they are in the womb, they know. Praise God. So basically, there's no excuse. Start early. And somebody here may ask me, oh, what about my child who is in the 20s? What am I going to do about him? It's not too late. As long as he has breath in him, God can still touch him. And nobody is beyond God's own hands, God's own reach. Amen. I know some of us will have given up on our own children. Maybe our children have grown up. We are listening to these things for our grandchildren. God bless you. You know, you never finish parenting. Parenting is for life.
Amen.
Even if your children become grandparents themselves, it's for life. You know? So start early. And I said to Russ earlier on that the children that God gave to Russ, they are weapons of war. Weapons of war. In Psalm 127, you know, it said they are like arrows in the hand of a mighty man. But in verse 1 of that Psalm 127, it said that he that builds without the Lord building builds in vain. Never parent on your own. Never do. And much later, you know, as we continue with this seminar, we're going to really, really come to an understanding of this Psalm 127. It's loaded. And God will help us. And I really will encourage you, go and do your research on Psalm 127. And all the scriptures that we mentioned here, we'll come back to them one way or the other, you know, later on. I said today is just an intro. It is God's design to perpetuate his blessing in godly families. That's his original intent. To raise godly families, to raise godly people that will carry his own image, that will carry his own glory. And that's why he said to us in Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before men that they may see. And do what? Give glory to Father who is in heaven. Jesus said, why are you asking me to show you the Father? If you've seen me, you've seen him. So we should be carriers of his own glory. Okay? And yeah, I was saying God designs, you know, parenting, designed to perpetuate his blessing in godly families. Genesis 1:28, chapter 17, verse 7, as I've given you before, chapter 18, verse 17 to 19, and Psalm 112, verse 1 to 2. Psalm 112, verse 1 to 2. Where he talks about the seed of the righteous being blessed in all their generations. Fantastic. You never lose. The world may laugh at you, but you never lose. Along the way, I'm going to give you some, you know, tell you the story of, of two people. One godly and another one ungodly. And you see what God did in their generations. Then you will choose which one you want to be. You know, God will help us. But there's something else we need to also be aware of, apart from knowing God's intent, which we've just, you know, explored. In fact, there's quite a lot more. If you look at Isaiah 61, you see a bit, I'll see if I can touch on that, you know, later on as we go on, you know, this evening, about God's own intent in giving us our children. But something else we need to look at, you know, is that we also need to know our history in order to understand our present and master our future. You must know your history. Know where you're coming from. You say, what does that mean and how does that really matter? The influences that have been upon your life will affect your own children. The influences upon you, the mother, and the influences upon the father of your own children or the mother of your own children will affect your own children. You need to know your history. Sometimes it may not be something that, it could be something that was actually done in the community where the people are. You need to know those things and deal with them. You need to know them and deal with them. Then, you may then say, and here I say, yeah, investigate, you know, the history. You know, investigate it. Investigate the history. You know, for your sake. I mean, for your children's sake and the sake of future generations, take off the mask and be truthful to one another. You, the mother of the child, and you, the father of the child. Both people, take off the mask. Don't try to look good. Because this is one thing a lot of people do. When people are caught in their all, you never see the girl without makeup. And the man that has a bad breath, he always will spray his mouth before he sees the girl. And people always try to present themselves in the best picture. Oh, how can I tell you that there was my father or my grandfather was a notorious criminal? Or how could I tell you that there is drunkenness is a problem in my family? Why should I tell you that promiscuity is really a problem? No. I'm so polished. Let's just talk about it now. Look, I go to church, see my Bible. Every line is marked. That does not deal with it, friends. You still have to investigate those things and be truthful with one another. Unfortunately, people begin to see, and you know, those things we are hiding will surely come up. And when it comes up in form of trouble in the life of your children. Then it starts cracking, and maybe somebody says, "Hey, didn't you know that the, have you forgotten the grandmother who, that one that, you know?" So you start knowing history by the, you know, through the back door. Find out. Deal with those things. Ask questions. There may be things that has been going on in your family that you don't quite understand. Ask your parents. Find out from the elders and deal with those things. Yeah, you may say to me, "Oh, but Chooks, what about 2 Corinthians 5:17? Yeah? If any man be in Christ Jesus, he's a new creature. All things have passed away, and all things have become new." Brilliant. I know about that. But I also know about Matthew chapter 12, verse 43 to 45, that says that when a demon or spirits are cast out of somebody, the demons go and roam about looking for a place. If they don't find a place, then they come back. They will come back to their former house. Hello? And they look. When they see the whole place all clean, purged, clean. Did you hear me say clean? Clean. And in fact, my King James Version says garnish. Not only was it clean, everything's been put in order. Clean. You know what they do? They will go and look for 7 devils more wicked than themselves. Those devils are really devils. They look for 7 more wicked. They don't mind being slaves to 7 devils, but just to have an entrance into your own life. And they come and take their residence in that very life. So when those things are taken away, what is taking their place in your life? Why should they come and find you empty and everything well organized? Be filled with the Spirit of God. Let the Word of God dwell in you richly. Amen. Deal with those things. Deal with those things. Look at what happened. You know, you may say, it took me quite a long time as a Christian to really understand how sin is perpetuated from generation to generation. You know, in 1 Corinthians, you know, 15 verse 22, the scripture tells us that for in Adam all died. In Adam all died, but in Christ we all were made alive. Why is it that we all died in Adam? Because we all were in his loins when he sinned. In the same way, the scripture tells us that in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 9, that Levi, verse 9 and 10 actually, that Levi paid tithe in Abraham. When? When Abraham paid tithe to Melchizedek. Levi was the priest asking for tithes and offerings from their brethren, but he himself even paid tithe in Abraham. The scripture tells us in verse 10 that because he was in Abraham's loins when Abraham paid tithe. That's not a doctrine to say because Abraham paid tithe that you will not pay your own tithe. Hello, Pastor Roland, did you hear that?
Yes.
Okay. So thank God this is being recorded. So you will not quote me that. Oh, she said, "Hey, I paid tithe in Abraham." Father Abraham has many sons. I'm one of them. So I paid tithe. No, I will not pay tithe anymore. No. It's a thing that you have to do for your own selves. Amen. Okay. Now, there's a very interesting story that happened in 2 Samuel chapter 21. From verse 1. And some of us may be familiar, you know, with this story. When David was king, for 3 solid years, there was famine in the land of Israel. And David inquired of the Lord. I wonder why he did it after 3 years. Not after the first rainy season failed. You know, some of us wait until, you know, our backs are on the wall before we start, you know, crying out to God. One thing I've learned as a child is, I want to come to my wit's end early in the morning so I can spend the rest of the day running on God's own strength. Amen. So famine was there in the land of Israel for 3 solid years. And David inquired of the Lord what was going on. And the Lord said to him, because of the wickedness of Saul, he had gone and killed the Gibeonites that they were in covenant with. And for that reason, there is trouble because covenant has been violated. And he went to the Gibeonites. What shall we do? He said, give all the sons. No, you haven't done anything. Israel haven't offended. Just give us the 7 sons. Give us 7 sons of this man, Saul. And we will kill them, hang them up, and everything will be fine. And that was exactly what happened. after David did that, God's seven sons of David, I mean of Saul, and gave to them, they hung them, they died, and reign came. And the Lord heard their prayer, the scripture tells us. Understand covenant. Don't violate covenant. Don't violate covenant in any way. Never violate covenant. And there's something else that we must be aware of as parents. If we are really going to parent our own children and help them to become the people that God wants them to become, we must learn to discern and fend off the vultures that come that attend our covenant. What do I mean by this? In Genesis, when God called Abraham into covenant, Abraham did what? Sacrifice those animals. It's really interesting, the animals. Heifer? Okay, call it. A ram? A goat? I think was there too. And then he had the pigeons and the turtle dove. Interesting. Those animals, the bull, the goat, the rams, which was actually used in scripture to signify wicked nations and oppressive people, all those ones were cut into pieces, cut open. But the pigeon that God actually used to refer to the people of Israel was intact and was not cut up. Those things that God had ordained for your own life will stay firm. God will prosper it. But those other things that should have no part in you will be destroyed. But listen, when those animals of sacrifice were laid out, there are so many parts to this, you know, thing of covenant. Slaying that very thing is another way, part of the tradition also. It became a tradition. You know how things can become easily become tradition and take on their own meaning. If I betray this covenant, if I violate the covenant, let me be like this carcass. You know that kind of thing? Right. But when those things were laid out, what happened? Vultures came to eat those animals. What did Abraham do? He drove them away. If those vultures, those birds had descended on those animals and fed on those things, that would have corrupted the covenant. It would have corrupted the covenant meal. And some of our relationships have been corrupted. We've not fended off the vultures. We've not fended off those evil things that have come to trouble our relationships. And for this, it's not a thing for you to just go back on your own and say, well, I'll go and deal with it. Some of it you cannot deal with on your own. Seek the counsel and the prayer of the elders in the church. Amen. They become strongholds. Violation of covenant is not a thing to take lightly. It could be through you violating your relationship with your spouse. It could be other corrupting influences. Discern and deal with those things. And 2 Corinthians 7:14, you know, tells us that if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, that God will do what? He will heal. He will forgive our sins and he will heal our land. Amen. So for us to really move on in parenting, let us reconcile ourselves with God. In many ways, we might not have honored him. But let us reconcile ourselves with him. Proverbs 28 verse 13 said that he that covers his sin will not prosper, but whosoever confesses and forsakes them will have mercy. It is the Lord's good pleasure to deliver us and give us the kingdom. It's his good pleasure. And shall we turn to Isaiah 61? And with this I will close. Isaiah 61. Hallelujah. Isaiah 61. And please, if anything you've heard this evening steers up anything in your own heart that you want to talk about afterwards, feel free to speak to the pastor. If you want to ask me any question, ask. But there are certain things we must not allow to fester in our lives. We must deal with them, if for no other reason, for the sake of our children and for the sake of our future generations. Amen. Isaiah 61, from verse 4. And you, I'm praying for you now. You shall build the old wastes. You will raise up the former desolations, and you shall repair the waste cities, the desolations of many generations. And strangers shall stand and feed your flocks, and the sons of the alien shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers. But you shall be named the priests of the Lord. Men shall call you the ministers of our God. You shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in their glory will you boast yourselves. For your shame you will have double, and for confusion you will rejoice in their portion. Therefore, in their land you shall possess the double. Everlasting joy shall be unto you. For the Lord loves judgment and hates robbery, for burnt offering, and will direct their work in truth, will direct your work in truth, and will make an everlasting covenant with you. And your children shall be known among the Gentiles, and their offspring among the people. All that see your children will acknowledge them, that they are the seed which the Lord has blessed. And so it shall be with you. In Jesus' name. God bless you.
If you have been blessed by this message, please don't hesitate to contact us at www.wordoflife-lcc.org. And remember, God loves you.